Beloved, welcome to worship today. It is the fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday that we reflect on the love of God that came in his Son, Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us come to the Advent wreath and light the candles. We light these candles each week as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are preparing for the full coming of God's kingdom. Prepare the way of the Lord. We light the fourth candle in love, the love that Jesus, our Saviour, has for us. Prepare then the way of the Lord.
A little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark streets shining the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met.
Would you join me in the call to worship for this week? Let every tongue give praise to God. Let us proclaim that God is with us, forgiving, liberating, and redeeming. Let us rejoice in our worship. Let us be open to God's leading. We will praise the God of love. Let's pray together. O God, we thank you that Jesus showed your love for every person, infant and child, young and old, sick and healthy, strong and weak, rich and poor, stranger and friend. Come to us in this Advent season, and give us love in our hearts for all people. Amen.
Let's pray the prayer of confession for this week. We confess we are not the people you hope us to be, Advent God. The very ones you favour, we too often ignore or ridicule. The ones you knock off their pedestals, we admire and emulate. We are so focused on having more and more that we risk being sent away empty. Forgive us, mighty God, and look with grace upon us. Help us to live each day secure in your love, to be the ones working for peace for our world, and to seek to do your will as Jesus did, the one in whose name we pray. Amen.
Friends, in this moment, in every moment, God comes to us offering hope, offering forgiveness, offering grace as a freely offered unconditional gifts to us. So open your hearts to the God who is with us and receive these gifts he has for us today. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 55, and I'm reading from the Revised Standard Edition. Mary visits Elizabeth. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord.
Some of you may not know this about me, but when it became clear that Phil's retirement date was approaching in 2020 and we started to look for a replacement for him, I was pretty hesitant to put my name forward. I was hesitant because I have a significant deficiency that means that I'm not quite the best minister material. I can't stand up here and lead you all in singing. I can sing along, not too badly, depending on the range, but I'm certainly no leader. And I couldn't lead you honestly to save my life. And maybe that doesn't sound like too big a deal to you, but in the reality of life as a minister, it actually is a significant weakness. And so that's why I am always eternally grateful to all of our musical people who take the time to come out and fill in for me in my deficiency. Especially for our choir members who faithfully come out and lead singing in memorial services that are sometimes for people they haven't even known. Now, this may not seem like a very big deal to you that I can't sing, but it is, because in the end, we are people who sing. Singing's a big part of our faith. We learn our faith through songs from our earliest days. The little ones in our congregation right now are starting to begin to learn some very simple songs. And those songs are teaching them about God and about our faith. I know for some of you, you appreciate and look forward to the sermon part of a service, but I suspect that for even more of you, your connection comes in a deeper way as we sing our faith. We sing to God. We sing about God. And we sing about the things that God has done and is doing. Our songs really tell our story. So when things happen or memories come to mind, it's often songs that pop into your brain first. Each one of us probably have songs that we associate with different aspects of our lives and our faith. For me, every time we sing a song here at the early service that's called Hope of the Nations, I'm transported back to 2006. To the spring of that year, to a service that happened on the Sunday right before we left on our third mission trip to Mexico. The worship team sang that song over us that year before we left and gave it to us to take with us on our trip. And so to this day, when I sing that song, I'm flooded with memories of all that God was doing through that trip. And that's just one example. Honestly, I have many. And you probably have your own as well. You probably have songs that do those same kinds of things within you. You associate them with memories or somehow the lyrics express your faith in a way that just seems so true to you. You can actually tell a lot about a person's faith by the songs that they hold as beloved. We are people who sing. It's what we do. And it's kind of distinctive in our modern world. Apart from singing the national anthem at public sporting events, you don't really hear singing out in public very much anymore. But you do if you come to church, because we are people who sing our faith. And that's in large part because we've come from Judaism, and Jewish people sing their faith. Simon and I got to attend a synagogue service in Vancouver about a month ago, and it was my first service in a synagogue. And I was so struck by the fact that we actually ended up singing nearly probably three quarters of that service was congregational singing. Mind you, it was in Hebrew, so I didn't really understand what we were singing, but I was clear that the people around me who'd been singing that service their entire life, they understood because they were singing their faith. And that's important for us to know as we've been making our way through Luke 1 over these past few weeks of Advent. These are all the events that lead up to and kind of set the scene for Jesus' birth. And as we've heard, song is an important part of them. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we heard that Zechariah learned he was going to have a son. And when that son was finally born, what did Zechariah do? He sang. He sang that beautiful song about what God was doing. Well, today, we have a very similar passage, only this time it's not Zechariah singing. This time it's Mary. Remember, Mary had had that visit from the angel who'd told her that she was going to have a child. And as strange as it must have sounded, the angel told her that that child would be God's son. And he would have an absolutely central part to play in what God was doing. We know that Mary believed the angel, at least on some level, because she followed the lead he gave her. She left Nazareth and went to visit her relative Elizabeth, who was apparently also expecting an unexpected baby. When Mary arrived at Elizabeth's, some significant things happened. Remember, at this point, Elizabeth was actually 6 months pregnant. And when Mary walked in and greeted her, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy. That baby would be John the Baptist. the one whose lifelong vocation would be to point people to Jesus. Well, it seems that his vocation began that day, 3 months before he was even born, when he pointed his mother and Jesus' mother to their Lord. Elizabeth knew right away what was happening. We can hear that in what she said to Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Well, what could Mary do with that? She heard what Elizabeth had said, and she sang a song of her belief that what was happening to and through her really was a part of God's story. Mary sang her faith. In many ways, her song actually parallels one that had been sung centuries before, the song of Hannah. Remember, Hannah was the mother of Israel's great prophet Samuel. And when Hannah took her very young son, the son God had given her, and dedicated him to serve the Lord his entire life, she put her faith into song. And it is no accident that Mary's song sounded a lot like Hannah's. Now, what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that Mary knew her faith. She knew the stories of her faith, and she knew the songs. So when Mary sang, it was clearly Hannah's song that was in her mind. She began exactly the same way that Hannah began, with praise to the God she loved. The God who had come to her and would do great things through her child. She sang that God's ways are like no other. And exactly as Hannah had, she sang about the great reversal that God is doing, that he's overthrowing the strong and the arrogant and raising up the weak and the humble. It's interesting that Hannah and Mary both sang something Mary's son would teach years later, when his own ministry began, that in God's kingdom, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. God is doing what God has always promised he will do since the days of Abraham, and that's what Mary sang about. She knew her faith. She knew the stories and the promises of God, and she believed them. And even more, given the journey that she was embarking upon, she trusted. As astounding as it all must have been for a teenaged girl to accept, Mary trusted that she actually had an important part to play in what God was doing. And she accepted that if she followed as God led her, that would happen. It would all play out. Despite significant risk to herself, and despite the heartbreak she would have to bear, Mary agreed to follow God's lead and to accept her part in God's story. My friends, we don't talk about Mary often enough. She is an incredible example of faith, and she has so much to teach us. Because like Mary, we are each a part of God's story. And I know that sounds big. It is big. Our roles might not be quite as central as Mary's was, but they're still important, and they're still very much needed. So today, as we have heard Mary's song, and as we have gathered to sing our own, I wonder, do we dare to believe this? Do we dare to believe that what is happening in and through our lives has meaning and significance because it's a vital part of God's story? Do we accept this, whether we can clearly see how it's all working out or not? Do we accept that each of us has a part to play? And that as we follow God's Spirit's leading each day, God is actually able to work through our ordinary lives to do, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. friends, in all of the goodness and the kindness and the love that you share each day in small ways and large, there's way more going on than you could possibly know. Mary sang because she realized that she'd been chosen by God, chosen to play a part in this glorious story of how God is restoring the world. And today I hope and I pray that as you sing, you might really know and trust that you've also been chosen by God for your part in that very same glorious story. Amen.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch our keeping?
This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
So bring him in since gold and
Hello, please join me in these, the prayers of the people. Lord our God, you have revealed yourself as one who wishes to bring about justice and true peace among people. In a world that looks away from injustice, you cast your eyes on the destitute, the poor, the forgotten, and the wronged. You have called us to follow you, to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release for the captives and recovery of sight for the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to pray for all, including those who have no one to pray for them, and to proclaim the time of your blessing. Be present with your church, Lord, as we respond to your call. We pray for our church and the churches in Oceanside and throughout the world. We pray for our church leadership, our municipal, provincial, and federal leaders, and all governments and their leaders throughout the world. We ask for wisdom and compassion to be upon them all. Open our eyes to the downtrodden. Fill us with compassion for the plight of the alien, the refugee, and the immigrant. Lead us into ministries that help orphans and widows. Give us courage to block the paths of the ungodly who exploit the poor. Set us free from pious exercises that prevent us from the true worship you choose, sharing bread with the hungry, sharing homes with the homeless, sharing clothes with the naked, sharing hearts with our own kin. So may your justice roll down like waters, your righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Lead our footsteps to stand with the poor, that we might stand with you. Have mercy, O God. Scatter the proud, put down the mighty, lift up the lowly, fill up the hungry, and send the rich away empty-handed. In Jesus' name, we pray in love for all these things as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We are so grateful for all the ways you contribute to the ministries and mission of God here at St. Stephen's, and also the place that we get to work and worship in. Would you pray with me over all the gifts given this week that help to further God's kingdom here in Qualicum Beach and Oceanside? Let us pray. Accept, O God, this money offered, these gifts given, the goodwill of our hearts, that disappointment may be turned to hope, and worry may be turned to anticipation, as we await with wonder the birth of Christ. Amen.
Friends, in your Advent preparations, remain watchful with your eyes on Christ, whose birth in a manger is but a promise of his coming again in glory. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.